Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in Northern Victoria.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday, the 20th day of March. We're just straightening up and getting a little bit more of the concerted issues. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the fact that you and I have been working together so long. We're sort of morphing into the same person now. We start talking about something and you say, oh, that's exactly what I do my property.
We'll talk about that on our podcast, which the rabbit hole is today. And we've got a special guest, Sharnel Vella, who is the preeminent political reporter in news, in my opinion. But you said it's just a cracker.
Oh, no, she's great.
And she's going to come and join us.
Well, she also, the reason why we wanted to talk to her was obviously about that, but also about the
fact
that
we're not going to just talk about politics.
No.
By no means.
She was the young cub reporter.
What a story.
Who did that interview with Mel Brown
and
that
day
in his garage.
That's right.
And she was the story behind that is hilarious.
She was also the reporter who was out. One of many in James had to cover the James Heard story.
Yep.
You told me a story this morning that we'll do on the podcast, which is just extraordinary.
Extraordinary. Just quickly, we've been talking about double yolks and triple yolks and all that sort of stuff. And Gary likes to drop a yolk or two a day. Rob's in Werribee. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, guys. How you going? Welcome back. If you go to the Vic markets, they sell those big trays of 20.
Yep.
The missus got 5 double yolks in a row. So you get the king size eggs.
What?
They're cage free. Yep. Vic markets, you know where the meat section is, right?
Yep.
Opposite that. Yeah, if you go up about halfway, they sell like honey and eggs. And the eggs are cheap. It's like 20 eggs for 11 king size.
Oh, wow. Hey, is there a special type of chook that drops a double yoker?
Got two bums.
Like an.
Just the one where they crap eggs. I don't know. It's just a chicken.
Is there ever been a triple yoker?
No.
You're pretty certain about that, right?
We were pretty astounded that you got that many out of one packet. I don't know about 80%, but 5 out of 20. That's pretty.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's good advice, Robbie.
That's great.
Appreciate your call. You'll go in the running for the caller of the week on that advice. And who knows? In 8-7 months, you might be driving away in a Toyota Hilux just for telling us about the double yokers at the Vic market.
You've set people off this morning too, talking
Why?
About that app. Sad day, Gary. Just scammed my favourite bedtime snack, a double-coated Tim Tam.
Yeah.
Gnawed out of 100.
I don't reckon you had to scan that to realise that there was no nutritional value in a double-coated Tim Tam.
You know what? If you love something enough, you can convince yourself there is some nutritional value.
Well, hey, this is for that person, you use the app, get the rest of the day in order, and then you'd be able to have a double-coated.
That's right. Just treat yourself.
That's right. Hey,
what do you want to talk about first? The serious footy stuff that's going around. Hey, just on the James Sicily thing first.
Were you
surprised that he got off at the tribunal?
Well, I was. I wasn't outraged with the kick. I agree with everyone. It wasn't a savage kick, but it was a kick.
He said it was more of a trip.
Did he?
Well, according to.
I think it was deemed a kick by the people, but they just deemed it wasn't
attempted
a hard kick.
Yeah.
So if you're just wandering into the world of the AFL on the basis of the 2 weeks of footy or 3 weeks of the footy, 2 weeks of footy played, you can punch,
what have we learned?
Punch
what have we learned
in the head.
The first couple of weeks, what have we learned?
You can punch someone in the head.
But you've got to be careful about where you punch.
As long as
them.
You are close enough to the play not to be deemed off the ball.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah,
so that's
clear.
One. And you can kick someone, but not too hard.
Right. And if the ball is there to be won on the ground, you have to look and make sure that there's somebody else.
There's no one else
in
coming.
The near vicinity.
In case in your attempt to pick that ball up, you might lose your feet and you might run into someone else in the area.
That's right. And nobody got injured in that incident either.
Except the
bloke that actually went for the ball.
To adjudicate. But anyway, good luck to James Sicily, and he will play this weekend. It's just, it's a funny game.
Is everybody happy with the idea of Tasmania having a team?
I didn't catch this, but I read the transcript. So over 100,000 members they've got.
Massive support.
The foundation members, of which you, did you end up signing up?
Not yet, no.
I does.
No.
Of the 10 buck variety, foundation members, 100,000, so that's I think that's fantastic. But it is still a hot political potato, the whole stadium and where it's going to be, and if in fact they build one, and the cost of living down there and the struggles that people are confronted with. And the two political parties will go to the election on the weekend, the Labor Party and the Liberal Party, but there are a whole heap of independents, of which Jackie Lambie is one, and she holds a fair degree of power, I understand, down there. And I read this transcript. I didn't know it was on the project, but that's where it was. And if you're in any doubt about this being a smooth transition, you know, the election will come and then the stadium will follow, let's have a listen to some of Jackie.
Tasmania can't afford it, so why are they putting these restrictions on Tasmania? Nobody else, no other state in Tasmania and in Australia has ever been asked to supply a stadium with a roof over it. I mean, this is just absolutely astonishing. If Andrew Dillon wants to touch what it's like in Tasmania, hey, mate, I'll put you up for a few weeks. Come and have a look in my backyard in Burnie on the northwest coast, and then you might get a bloody reality check, mate, because we can't afford it in Tasmania. And that's it, end of story. We'd love one, I can tell you. But I tell you, we're not as rich as what we are, they are in Western Australia. We don't have all that resources money coming into us, all that sort of stuff. And we have so many issues going on in Tasmania where they have to be prioritised over a stadium. And it's as simple as that.
I don't know Andrew Dillon as well as you do, but do you think it's possible that he'll take her up on the offer to go and live at her place for a couple of maybe a week or two in Burnie?
Maybe. I doubt
Pitch
it.
A tent in the backyard?
I doubt it. But all that is it gives you an example of the
passion.
Well, that's just not
against it.
This is a person of political power in the state. That's just not a passionate, you know, bystander down there. This is someone who helps form policy down there, and they're going to have, it's going to be a hung, I don't know, it could be a hung parliament, and then the balance of power can lay with the independents and all that stuff, of which she is one of the most powerful. So she's saying blow it out your backside, and the AFL saying, hey, no stadium with a roof, no team. And then she's daring them to take it off them, and I dare the AFL to take our team away after this momentum that's been granted.
Who didn't understand, though, the licence arrangement?
Well, the opposition leader down there stated many times, if we win on Saturday, we'll go back to the AFL and renegotiate the contract. And the AFL are going, well, you won't.
No, because you were awarded this based on you building a stadium. Yeah, that's what it was all about.
The license is legislated on the predisposed notion that the stadium will come. So it's great. I love it. The momentum's great. The 100,000 people that have made this, you know, little financial commitment to say, yeah, we're with you. That's just a small step in where this thing's going.
You don't think it's the end of it yet?
Well,
is there any wiggle room anywhere?
Listen, there's wiggle room in everything, but I would think, because in the end, Tim, you can, it's a bit like, you know, the stadium up in Queensland, all that stuff, with the Olympics. I know it's going to cost a fortune, and I've got no understanding of the problems and issues that Jackie Lambie's alluded to. But if you want your team and you don't build it, in 20 years' time, guess what? You're going to have to. Or 10 years' time, you're going to have to. Because guess, no player's going to go there. No one's going to go down there to play, Tim. You're not going to attract anyone to come down there and play. And in the end, it'll just go into decay further. Other states will continue to invest. The Shane Warne stand's about to be redeveloped. It's going to have to come up to speed. Everywhere's going to come up to speed, and we know the challenges that come with it. But Adelaide people, you know, they railed against the Adelaide Oval. The West Australian people railed against the Western Australian Stadium. But if you want to have world-class facilities in this instance, teams that are the number one sport in the country, you've got to support it with the infrastructure.
Just to clarify something too, Jackie is a federal senator, not a state independent. John Longmire, there's a couple of issues that we want to touch on here. John Longmire obviously was asked about the whole buddy thing. There was a bit of a discussion around, you know, whether or not he stayed on too long, whether or not the Swans had enough of him, whether they wanted to move him on, the departure, all that type of thing. He stepped up yesterday. Obviously, he was asked questions about it. This is what he had to say.
I mean, Lance has been one of the most popular players that we've had at this footy club, and certainly one of the best players I've ever coached. So, we hadn't had enough of Lance. He was a super player for us, and I personally had a great relationship with him, which I'll always treasure. And his ability to be able to contribute to our footy club on and off the field was absolutely significant. And he was 36. you know, strangely enough, you get to the stage where you go and do other things, and you get to the end of the end of your career, and you might not have been as key as far as on the field performance as what he was when he was 26, but yeah, I think that's natural, and but he's contributed in so many other ways.
Now, you'd expect him to say a lot of that, but he did also make the point that the fact that he was there still taking the key defender from the opposition allowed them and Logan McDonald and others, Amati and those guys, to get the second or the third defender, which allowed them maybe to develop in a way that they wouldn't have been able to develop and fast-track their development had Buddy not been there. So that makes perfect sense too.
Of course it does. I mean, of course there's some element in the fact that there would have been some frustrations. It goes both ways. It's just, I don't know why we need to try and muddy someone's reputation in that manner by saying, oh, they've had enough of him. They'd had a gutful him by the end, the inference being that they couldn't get him out of the joint quick enough. That's, you know, there were, of course there would have been some touchy moments in that. And you and I spoke about this yesterday.
Mm.
There's lots of players that have exited, greats of their club that have exited with some, you know, on the liver and probably from both ends. But you come together again, Wisp.
Often happens. Often happens. Now, you mentioned the word touchy and you said to me this morning, oh, there might be a touch of touchiness about Craig McRae at the moment too.
Oh, not touchiness. I just thought the difference between his first presser and the second gave you an insight into how pressure builds. And that's not a criticism. He was a bit more pointed. You know, he was a bit more when in his press conference, he's going, we're not this and we're not that. And, you know, there was a bit of, and I totally understand it. The pressure builds. They come out Thursday, huge game Thursday.
It's a big, big game this week.
Yeah. And you know, I read a really good story on the AFL about, you know, Ned was talking to Damien Barrett about it. And yeah, everyone gets it. Everyone gets it that, yeah, it's only 2 weeks and it's, you know, you know what we do. Yeah, of course you are. But you're zipping too. And if you think that that's not going to be a bit of a story, then you know it's a story. Mm. And you're defending your club, and fair enough. I haven't heard anyone come out and say Collingwood are gone.
Now, no one said that, but everybody is examining the way they're performing at the moment. And the Herald Sun had a stat this morning, which I had to read three or four times because I actually didn't believe it. And that is that Darcy Moore, in the two games this year as a defender, has not had one one-on-one contest yet.
Mm. That sounds staggering, doesn't it? But it's the way they defend too.
Like, I get that, but you would think there'd be a one. You'd have one one-on-one contest.
Yeah, you would. But they don't defend one-on-one. They defend space, and then they rely on each other to close in for. And when that doesn't happen, or when a team gets, and this is what's happened with Sydney particularly, when a team bursts their way through or turns a footy back over in their front half, then you're in all sorts of trouble.
This is what Craig McRae had to say yesterday about one of the positives that they've found.
We actually like that no one's really talking about that we're finishing games off okay, because that'll be there when we get the scoreboard a bit closer. So our fight's still there. It's just about managing the scoreboard a bit in other areas so that everyone can still see that's resilience is still there.
I get that. I put that up as one of the great find the positives of all time.
Yeah, and that's what you got to do, though.
Of course, that's what you got to do. But he's saying, right, how can I spin this around? Where's my book? I'm trying to find my book from Friday night. So they're not talking about the fact that you've kicked the last three fly. That's right, because at one stage, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they kicked 11 of 13 against you. That's why. Because in the end, three at the end, after when the game was there to be won, you gave up 11 of 13 goals. That's why no one's talking about the fact you've kicked two or three late. But that's what coaching is, right?
Yeah.
So he's
well, you
putting
have
a
to.
Spin on it.
Yeah, you've got to try and put a spin, and you've got to try and change the narrative if you possibly can. Ross Lyon also, who's always entertaining at a press conference and a media conference, had this to say about flicking the switch as a team and going from poor to good.
Yeah, so I don't agree with that. I don't think the switch just gets flicked. I remember prelim, we lost by 15 points to the Dockers in 15 and we went 0-10. You know, you don't flick a switch in AFL footy. So, yeah, they've done the work or you haven't, and you can either bring it to life or you can't. So it's a brutal competition.
Is there a chance that Collingwood haven't done that work from what you've I don't know. We're about to find out.
And isn't that great? We're about to find out. So in the lead up to this game, Fox Footy, Channel 7, AFL Nation, that's going to be the lead in the promo. Mm. I don't know. We're about to find out. And we will. When the ball gets bounced, we'll find out.
He's the best.
Dave's an architect. He says if you don't build it now, the stadium will just cost more later on. Simple economics, everyone loses sight of. So I don't know. Everyone's got a different opinion on it. Let's take a break. Time's got away from us a little bit. We've got still plenty more to talk about. Weather update, message from United Energy. Be prepared for extreme weather. Sign up for SMS outage alerts at unitedenergy.com.au/notify. Top of 17 today. A bit cooler.